as we gather together on this All Saints Sunday to remember those brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone before us and are now in the kingdom of heaven, that fellowship that cheers us on, that great fellowship in the sky that cheers us on in our faith, we do so in the light of Christ. And so we light this single white candle at the beginning of our service, just as we do at the beginning of all services of remembrance, as we remember those who have died and gone to the kingdom. It is a reminder of the light of Christ. It is a symbol of the resurrection and the hope of the gospel, that for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall never die, but shall live. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship. God is good, and all the time. And what a good Sunday it is as we come together to remember those who have gone before us in faith. It is our tradition on the first Sunday of November to recognize what has already taken place, which is All Saints Day. This is All Saints Day Sunday, a time to think about those that we love and know, both recently who have passed, but also reaching even into the first century, even beyond to Adam and Eve, all those who were in relationship with God are saints in his kingdom. It's not a special group that was elected or voted on or have some special power, but it is all God's children. And we are happy to celebrate that today. It's a time to, just like last Sunday, Reformation Sunday, to especially remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice for their faith, who gave their very lives, those martyrs who went the extra mile to proclaim the gospel even at threat of death. And so today, as we worship and as we sing our hymns and our songs and pray our prayers together, we want to encourage you to remember those, especially those from your own life, those that you've known who have impacted you, who have made a difference in you, who continue to teach you by the example and the legacy that they have left behind. A few reminders this morning. We do have a fellowship meal tonight at 5 o'clock. Some very hearty soups and sandwiches are going to be on the menu. It's a great time to have a good soup, and we want you to encourage you to come and fellowship with one another. That'll be right after the choir practice, which is at 4, right? 4 o'clock choir practice. It's not too late, I don't think, to come and join the choir if you want to be a part of the Christmas music especially. That's at 4 o'clock today, followed by the meal. And at 5:30, we have a representative from the Alamance Foundation that's going to be coming and talking to us about leaving a legacy. How do we leave an impact on our church and on our community, even long after we're gone? What an appropriate day on All Saints Sunday to be thinking about the legacy that we might leave behind to continue to impact people and future generations to come. She'll be talking about churches and endowments and how that works. And there's been some talks and murmurs in our congregation about an endowment possibly or more endowments. And so if you're interested in that, I encourage you, especially trustees, members of the vision leadership team, stewardship team, deacons, and interested members of the congregation, please come and be a part of that. Also, you have probably read in the newsletter by now, or maybe you even received an email about our Advent devotion. This is something that we are especially excited about putting together. We are in the spirit of our vision, which is focused on both spiritual renewal and unity. We thought, what an opportunity to bring those two challenges together. And instead of getting a devotion from some company that we could all share in or having our staff write one, we thought, wouldn't it be nice to hear from one another, to hear from each other, the members of the body of Christ? And so the invitation is for you that if you would like to write a one or two paragraph devotional thought, we're not looking for scholarship. We're not looking for you to translate from the original languages. We're not looking for long sermons, but just a brief devotional thought that is spirit-led and relevant for our church and for our community. That if you'd like to participate in that and write one of those, there is a sign-up sheet in the vestibule that has the remaining scriptures. I think there are about 12 scriptures that are remaining. If you'd like to look at those and sign your name beside one of them, there's also a one-page guide, a kind of a hints and helpful tips for writing a devotion. So even if you've never written one, you can do this. You can make this happen. And if we have more than we need, we'll incorporate every last one of them. But it's what a great opportunity to hear from one another and be encouraged and challenged by one another during the season of Advent. Today we did mention it is this opportunity to remember. And we can think back to grandparents and parents who have gone before us. We often have storied members of this congregation that we reflect on. Names that stir in us images of commitment and faithfulness to the congregation. We remember those ancient saints like Peter, like those disciples who gathered in the first church together. But we also, every year on this day, remember those who have passed away over the course of the last year. And so as we read their names, we invite you to pause in silent reflection after each name, giving glory to God, for it is Him, the Christ, who shines through these lives that makes their life so meaningful. Would you hear their names? Nancy Bowling. William Bill Gailey. be louder. Carnell Summers. Hazel Lewis. Our hearts, O Lord, are overfilled with joy as we remember these names and we remember these people, for they were a blessing to us and to the community and to our church. And we pray that we would not only be inspired by them, but challenged by their life and the legacy that they leave behind. For Lord, you are deserving and worthy of all praise and glory and honor for these names who have left our body in the past year. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is Psalms 24. The earth is the Lord and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. Who shall ascend the Lord's hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deficiently. We will receive blessings from the Lord and vindicate from the of God their salvation. Such is the company for those who seek him, who seeks the face of God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up of ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Let us pray. Dear Father, God of all saints, God of mercy, love, and power, we have come here to praise you today. God, clean our hearts. Jesus, cast out our unholy fears. Open our lips and leaven our praise to hear our words of truth. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us of your glory, for you, O God, are the Holy One and Holy One. And let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, and forgive us those trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As you know, coming up in a month from now, we're doing One Starry Night. And we've had some signs made up that we're going to start placing around in the community. And I wanted to show you the signs of what they look like. And it's a yard sign. And I don't know if you might be interested in putting one in your yard or not. And this one we're going to put up in the churchyard. It's double-sided. You can get it double-sided, or you can get one that's just one-sided and put in your yard. We also have a banner that we're going to hang up on Webb Avenue and Highway 87 out that way. And it's 8 foot long, so you'll be able to see that one real well. But I thought, well, you know, some people might want to stick one in their yard. And at Office Depot, you could purchase one of these for like $14 if you're interested in getting one to put in your yard to help us advertise and get the word out. Can y'all see it back here, choir?
We can see from the back.
Oh, yeah. And if you want it double-sided, it's like $26. So it's a little bit more if you want it on both sides. But just single-sided, it's like $14. So if you're interested, you can go to Office Depot and get it. It's under my name. I guess everybody knows my name. Gay Collins, you tell them Gay Collins yard sign, and they can pull it up and print it for you. It takes about an hour for them to print it. But if you're interested, you can go there and get it, or see me, and I can get it printed for you, whichever. But just wanted to let you know that opportunity's there.
I thought it turned out really well. Very colorful.
what is it? Not offertory. Our hymn of praise this morning is a gospel song, old gospel song, I'll Fly Away. Let's stand up and let's praise the Lord.
Good morning. My name is Leslie Cornell, if you don't know, and I'm here representing the mission team. We wanted to give you an update on a few of the projects that we've sort of got in the works that we're planning right now. First, of course, is next Saturday, our annual stew sale.
Got it.
If you do not have your order in, please see Paula or any member of the missions team today. We are anticipating a third pot. So we've done well, and we can do better. So just let us know. We're also going to have a bake sale that same day. So all of the bake sale proceeds are going to go to the CBF Global Missions. So it's important that we have a good sale. To do this, please consider making a goodie or two and bringing it in for us. Items need to be here on Friday afternoon. I will be here all day Friday, so you can bring it anytime. Or by 10 a.m. Saturday morning to give us a chance to get it labeled and priced and on the table. Please remember to use a dish or a container you don't want back to do that. Next, we wanted to let you know that we're not officially this year going to sponsor the Operation Christmas Child. However, if you've already planned, you've already purchased items in anticipation of the program this year, we will facilitate getting your boxes to a drop-off spot. The final date for collection is Sunday, November the 18th, so you don't have much time. If you want to go ahead and get a box and prepare it and bring it in, leave it in the vestibule, and we will get those out on the next morning, the 19th. There are pamphlets on the table in case you need to know what is allowed, what needs to go in it, and just remember that there's a $9 handling fee attached to each of those boxes. In fairness to members who would ask for a local mission project, we've heard several people talk about that and ask us. We're planning on collecting shoe boxes to be distributed to the homeless. So this would include men, women, and children of all ages. In the boxes, we will give you more information, but just be thinking in terms of, you know, like a little scarf or a pair of gloves or the emergency blankets that you can purchase in the, what is it, the sporting department at Walmart and all. those kind of things, because we have a tremendous number of homeless here in Alamance County. So please think about participating with that. It's an exciting project, and we'll have more information for you very soon. Finally, some of you are thinking about the toy-in gathering we do every year for the prison ministry. They had given me one date. She called me at 7:30 last night and said the date had moved up. So now they're looking at having everything here. Our date to collect will be Sunday, November the 25th. Remember, that can be anything, children of all ages. Those kids can't help where their parents are. So if we can provide anything for children of all ages up through teens, that would be great. So just be thinking about things that you want to bring in for that on November 25th. Other than that, we just wanted to say thank you so much. This church is wonderful. They always come together. They help us with all of our missions, and we really appreciate it. So thank you.
Our offertory hymn this morning is Soon and Very Soon. Let's stand and let's sing.
The first song that was played, Margaret Miller was filling in on the piano. The first time Denise and I visited here, that was the song that they played, and that made me love this place. It just did. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you excited and humbled. We are excited about being together in a body of believers that loves you. We are humbled by how much you love us. We've heard a lot about what missions opportunities there are and what we can do to leave a legacy. I pray that we would focus on the fact that we will see you soon. I pray that we would live our lives in a way that shows that to other people, that we know who you are, that we love you. We pray that as we give, we would do so cheerfully, that you would use that money in a mighty way, that you would equip this church and those in it to do your work, and that you would lead us into what that work is. Thank you for loving us, despite sometimes the fact that we act in an unloving way. In your name we pray, amen.
we invite you to hear again the words of Scripture from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 25, beginning in verse 6. On this day the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, a rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people will be taken away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Will you pause and pray with me? Oh God, we indeed rejoice in your salvation. You are the worker of your will. And your will is to defeat death, to defeat sin and shame and guilt, to conquer it all and wipe it all away from the face of the earth. Indeed, O Lord, your word says that you are the one who makes all things new. And so, God, we stand before you longing. We long for your return. We long for the new heaven and the new earth to come down. We long for the day in which you will make your dwelling here with us. We long for the day where there is no more crooked back and cancer-ridden bodies, no more crying and suffering, no more hungry babies, no more prisons, no more wars, no more death. And so our prayer, O God, is come quickly and bring us new life. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Would you join me in a word of prayer? Oh Lord, we come to you, for you are the one who makes all things new. Create in us a new spirit and a new heart and a new mind this day, as we think again about your holy things and your perfect ways. In Christ's name, amen. There's a great story. I want you to help me tell it. It's about a revival preacher who came to town to evangelize this small country church. And you remember those days of revivals. It seems like that's gone by the wayside, but I can remember my early years of ministry preaching many country revivals and hearing lots of amens and foot stomping and hand clapping and hallelujahs from the back of the pews. And he was really working up the crowd, preaching a sermon about repentance and heaven. It was one of the heaven or hell's moments in your life as he was preaching about the need to make a commitment today, right here, right now. Do you want to go to heaven? Was the title of the sermon. And as he would preach, he got quite worked up and sweat began to appear on his brow, and that famous, wonderful preacher dab, he did it perfectly. And he would shake his fist in the air and he would say, "Do you want to go with me to heaven? Say amen." And all the people said, and he began to continue to preach, and he got fired up, and he pounded the pulpit and shook the Bible at the folks and said, "You know, it's a lot like being a potato in McDonald's. You better get sanctified or French fried. Do you want to go to heaven? Say amen." And the people said, amen. He continued to get worked up more and more, and his confidence in what he was saying began to grow, which is always a scary thing for pastors. He began to be confident in what he was saying, and he said, "If you want to go to heaven with me, then I want you to stand right up and say, hallelujah." And everybody stood right up and said, "Hallelujah." Hallelujah. Some of you got the spirit. His message at this point was that life in this old, dirty old world is like a day laying out at the beach. You better turn or you're going to burn. And at last, he gave one final plea. He says, "If you want to go to heaven with me, then I want you to come on down and let's gather at the altar right now if you want to come to heaven with me." And nobody moved. He kind of was struck by that. He said, "I said, if you want to go to heaven with me, come on down to the altar right now, church." Nobody moved. He said, "What's wrong with you people? Don't you want to go to heaven?" And one little kid, smart-mouthed boy in the back row, stood up and says, "Yes, sir, preacher, we all want to go to heaven, but the way you're talking, it sounds like you're getting a busload to go up tonight." We all want to go to heaven, just not right now. Not tonight, not today. It's a peculiar Christian perspective to proclaim that we believe heaven is the perfection of all life. It's the most beautiful reality that there is, that it will be perfect, no pain, no reality, and yet at the same time we are so reluctant to go there. What we're really proclaiming is that when we eventually do have to experience death, because no one wants to experience death, but when we do finally have to experience it, we want to go to heaven and not to hell. It's kind of like we're buying fire insurance, but Jesus is selling life insurance. He's saying that this is something that is so perfect, so absolutely perfect, that if we fully understood it, we would want to jump on the bus and go there tonight. That's certainly how the first century disciples felt about the kingdom of God. It was not a group who was just hoping that one day this would become a reality for them when they finally grow to be 103 and their bodies can no longer hang on to this old world. And then and only then will they go. No, they were the soon and very soon type of disciples, not the then and only then type of disciples. And so if you look carefully at the preaching of Jesus and John the Baptist and the messages of Acts, the sermons they preached, there was a very present reality that the kingdom was right here and we were about to take one more step and we'd be there. Just one more day and God would come down and make his dwelling place with us humans. The problem that we really have is that we don't understand and never can in this lifetime fully understand the reality of heaven. We are finite creatures with itty-bitty brains trying to comprehend and make sense of and appropriate within our lives something that is eternal and immaterial. It's not possible. And so we are left with many very worldly images of heaven. In fact, I would argue that probably 90% of what the average modern Christian thinks about heaven comes more from movies than from Scripture. More from books and media. More from hand-me-downs from grandparents and parents. There are some beautiful ones. I collected a few of these that I think are just beautiful. There is this from St. Gregory of Nyssa, who was trying to console parents of a child who died very early, and he reminded them of Jesus saying, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for such belong to the kingdom of heaven." And then he says this about death: "Your child may have departed from you, but he has gone to Christ the Lord. For you his eyes have been shut, but they are opened to the eternal light. He is gone from your table, but now added to the table of the angels. The plant was uprooted from here, but planted there in paradise. From the earthly kingdom, he was transferred to the heavenly kingdom. You see what was exchanged for what? You are sad because you no longer see the beauty of the face of your child, but this happens because you do not see the real beauty of the soul which he rejoices in the heavenly feast. How beautiful indeed is the eye that sees God. How sweet indeed is the mouth that is adorned with divine melodies." It's a beautiful picture. There is a first century BC document called The Wisdom of Solomon, and in it this writer tries to imagine for an oppressed and troubled people what the kingdom might be like. This is at a time when Jewish people were beginning to believe in a resurrection and a new heaven. And he writes, "But the souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, and no torment will ever touch them. In the eyes of the foolish, they seem to have died, and their departure was thought to be a disaster. They're going from us to be their destruction, but they are at peace. For though in the sight of others they are punished, their hope is full of immortality." He goes on to paint this picture of a God who will never let go those whom he has claimed. Then there's lighthearted sentiments about heaven, like this from Thomas Jefferson, who says, "I could not go to heaven but with a party. I would not go there at all." There's that image that heaven better be a lot of fun. It better be quite a party, that we ought to have a good time there. Or do I really want to be there at all? I think some of what Thomas Jefferson writes there speaks to a lot of the misconceptions we have about heaven. I heard someone once say to me, "I don't know if I want to go there or not. I heard all you do is sing forever and ever and ever. And I don't like music that much." Well, that's not biblical, is it? Someone said to me, "I don't want to go there because I love my boyfriend, and I was told he won't be my boyfriend in heaven." What a misunderstanding of human relationship in the kingdom of God. There is so much that is beautiful, but just as much that is misinformation This image that all we'll do is float around on the clouds and play our harps all day. Then there's other people who have an image of heaven as a place where all you do is play golf all day. I think even that too would grow old, would it not? That heaven maybe is a place where all your favorite dogs are just waiting for you on the front porch. Amen? Or cats if you're strange. But even so, is that really heaven? Do you realize what we're doing is we're doing our very best to understand it, but we're still thinking about very earthly things, aren't we? We cannot imagine. I love that scripture. It says, things beyond our seeing, things beyond our knowing, things beyond our imagination have all been prepared for us. What a beautiful way to put it. We can turn to Revelation 21 as a biblical model or a biblical glimpse of heaven. And throughout the Bible, we have many, many of these little glimpses, little thumbnail images of the kingdom of heaven. They're not full pictures, but just a taste, just a hint, just a suggestion. And they're always shrouded both in clarity and in mystery. Kind of like Jesus' parables. On the one hand, you can understand it, but at the other, there's still something unknowable about it. We'll just look at one because I'm not a topical preacher. But just in this one glimpse, we are given not earthly images, but theological, deeply symbolic, rooted in history, but they're still linked to something timeless and unknowable. When he says in verse 1, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." Folks, there is an awful lot packed in to that first line of this chapter. And when we die, we don't go just up into the sky. But in fact, there is a completely new heaven and new earth. That it's something that doesn't even exist. It's something so marvelous. We can't explain it because there's nothing to explain yet. That it's nothing marred by the old ways, the old aches and pains, the old suffering. It's nothing marred by the old sins and the old habits that we could never give up. It's nothing marred by our bad habits and bad thoughts and ill wills. And it's nothing marred by atomic weapons and tank tracks and bullet holes. That it is something completely fresh and new, created for you and for God to enjoy forever. And it says the sea was no more. Well, as someone who likes the ocean, that's a head scratcher. You say, well, I love to get out on a boat and fish out in the ocean. I love to go swimming and splash around in the waves. But here again, I'm thinking earthly, I'm thinking human. I've got to wrap my brain around the theology and the symbolism that is being called upon here. The imagination is called into play. For the ancient people, the sea was a symbol of chaos. This swirling, bubbling force of uncontrollable disorder. Sounds like a Monday morning, doesn't it? It is the chaos of life. It is the hustle and the bustle of paying bills and balancing budgets and caring for sick loved ones and watching mama die and all of the hard stuff of life. It's the sea that we cannot hold it back. We cannot stop it. It comes and it comes and it comes. Isn't it almost comical how on the Outer Banks we are constantly dredging up sand and rebuilding beaches only to see in a moment they're washed away by the chaos? That's life, isn't it? you prepare and you save and you think you're ready for anything, and in one moment, the chaos overpowers. But here we are told from the very start, I love that, the sea is no more. The chaos stops. It is not unlike that moment where Jesus looked at the winds and the waves out on the Sea of Galilee and simply said, what? Peace, be still. In verse 2, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. It's this celebration. It's not a moment of fear, a horror moment. For those who believe in Christ, it is a moment of great joy, a union like that of husband and bride. And now God is with us. He will dwell with them as their God, and they will be his peoples. You know what's surprising about that? That's the same thing God's been saying since Abraham. It's all he ever wants, is to be your God and for you to be his people. He's been working on it since the beginning. That everything that he has done, every step he has taken in history, every moment of conquest, of healing, of proclamation, every stone tablet, every parchment scroll that was written, every person who's passed through your life that has spoken words of God to you, every bit of that has been for this one whole purpose. He just wants to be your God and claim you as his people. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. All too often have we sat and watched people we love suffer. The aches and the pains of their body, sometimes it is the breaking of their mind and their spirit that we have to watch. We think about how frustrating and tormenting that is. And yet here we are told that in this new heaven and new earth, such things simply do not exist. The tears are wiped away. I'll never forget Carnell Summers, who we all watched battle cancer for such a long time, and high moments and low moments alike. We were with her in that journey, and we have all learned to hate that word cancer, I'm sure. But I remember one of the last times I went to see her, she was laying in a bed in the back room, and she had been pretty much nonverbal for most of the day. But when I walked in, she grabbed me by the hand and pulled me into the bed with her and gave me a great big hug. And then she said something that let me know she understands the kingdom of God. She said, I've known you for 4 years, and I've never heard you preach, but I'm going to hear you preach my funeral. Think about that. No more crying, but just rejoicing. Just rejoicing. And the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. And if you recall his words to the Samaritan woman, if you drink from this fountain, you will never thirst again. These images are here for us, not to help us know all the details of heaven or to know everything about what we're getting into in this new heaven and new earth. They're more like a great painting from the masters of old. We're not meant to get the magnifying glass and examine each brush stroke and each blending of color. Instead, we are meant to step back from them and see the whole image at once. They are meant to move us, to challenge us, to strike fear in the hearts of the enemies of God and joy in the hearts of those who believe. And they are meant to be mystery. Never try to divorce mystery from these images of the kingdom. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we come to you and ask that you would help us to celebrate the mystery, to take comfort in the promises, and to believe in the hope of the resurrection. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As has become our tradition on All Saints Sunday, we have an opportunity for you, as the music for meditation plays, to light a candle in honor of someone that you have lost and loved, and in glory and in honor of Jesus the Christ, whose light of resurrection shines through them. We invite you, if you would, come down this aisle if you want to light a candle today and to return to your seats by this aisle. And I and Gay will be here at the front to help you light your candle. If you'll select one, we'll have our little candles to light it for you from the Christ candle. And then we're going to ask you to place it back here on the table. If you would, start from the top of the table and work your way down to the bottom so no one catches on fire on this Sunday. Would you prepare to come? you please stand if you're able as we sing our hymn of response, God be with you until we meet again. May the light of Christ fall upon you and illuminate your heart and give you joy in this life as we prepare for the next. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Go in peace.